From the Employee Benefits Work Group, requesting authorization to amend sections 201.24, sub 4.1 of the Milwaukee County Code of General Ordinances as it pertains to the rule of 75 for non-represented employees. This item was also referred to the Committee on Finance and Audit, the Committee, and the Pension Study Commission. Finance and Audit approved this item by a vote of 6-0, and the Pension Study Commission approved this item by a vote of 4-0.
Okay, and I guess we have some familiar faces at the head table. Gentlemen, welcome.
Mr. Chairman, Mark Grady, Deputy Corporation Counsel.
And Mr. Chairman, Larry Langer, Buck Consultancy, I'm sure.
Very good, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, what you have before you is a continuation of previously adopted policy by the county board, just a little bit broader than previously adopted. You may recall, let me back up and set the stage. The Rule of 75 with respect to non-represented employees was granted back in 1993. It was then eliminated in 2006. And so any non-represented employee hired before January 1st, 2006 is eligible to retire under the Rule of 75. And currently we look at your status at the time of retirement to make that determination. With respect to the unions, they all have different dates. But with respect to AFSCME, that union received the benefit and terminated the benefit effectively at the same time. So employees of AFSCME who retire as employees of AFSCME are eligible for the Rule of 75 if they were hired prior to 1/1/94. It's a different date for the nurses. I think it's 97, and different dates for Teamco, et cetera. But that's the general concept. Because of that difference in dates and difference in eligibility, the county board previously, with respect to deputy sheriffs, passed an ordinance amendment that said when deputy sheriffs are promoted into non-represented positions, we want to eliminate the possibility of them gaining the Rule 75 when they didn't have it before. So that was done. Earlier this year, the county board adopted an ordinance amendment to do the same thing for the 18 correction officer lieutenant positions that were created, so that correction officers in AFSCME who were promoted to non-represented lieutenant positions did not gain the Rule of 75 if they were a correction officer hired between 1994 and 2006. Because as an AFSCME member, if you're hired after 94, you don't get it, but if you become a non-rep and you're before 06, you do. This proposal before you basically does the same thing, only on a much broader scale. And it effectively freezes the eligibility for the Rule of 75 as of next week, as of County Board Day, September 29th. And what it says is it puts a box around the people who have the Rule of 75. And it says, if you have the Rule of 75 as of next week, no matter what happens to you in the future, you will keep it. If you do not have the Rule of 75 as of next week, no matter what happens to you in the future, you will never get it. So we will close the box around or draw a circle around the people who have it. And in that sense, this ordinance amendment doesn't affect the current benefit of any current employee. So in that sense, as Mr. Langer will tell you, there's no cost to this benefit and no definite savings as we sit here right now. If every employee stayed where they were, this would be a completely neutral thing. But it's done in anticipation of and confirmed by at least a quote from Mr. Abelson in the paper today that AFSCME may not seek recertification when they're asked to do so by the WERC. And if that is in fact what happens, I'm told we have approximately 1,200 AFSCME employees and some lesser number of smaller union employees who would become non-represented employees and would become eligible for the Rule 75 because they were hired between those two dates. And so this ordinance amendment prevents that from happening. And so Mr. Langer, again, will tell you that we don't know for certain that that will happen. We don't know how many employees will move from one status to the other. And so we can't put a definite number on the, quote, savings from this. It's really a savings if you don't do this, or a cost if you don't do this. If you don't do this, you'll have increased pension costs, and if those things happen. So with that said, I just had one final comment because I have to correct a record from yesterday. Mr. Langer will jointly share the blame for this. We were asked, I think, by Supervisor Mayo what the savings were, and as Mr. Langer indicates in his report, he calculates a rough number between $10,000 per employee and $50,000 per employee as the cost of the Rule of 75. Earlier this year on the correction officer lieutenants, that was calculated at $12,000 per employee, because it varies based on, you know, your salary scale, et cetera. And we said, okay, roughly 1,200, just to take that number. It's not the precise number, but 1,200. We said 1.2 million, and in fact, despite the joking yesterday, we got it wrong. It's $12 million. We missed a zero. And so at the bottom end, 1,200 employees not receiving this benefit, at the bottom end savings of $10,000 or cost of $10,000, it's $12 million. At the top end, it could be as high as $60 million, but it's probably something closer to the bottom end than the top. So with that, I apologize for the error yesterday, and I'll let Mr. Langer talk.
Please. All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. September 15th, 2011 letter, but instead of being multiple pages, it's just two pages. Extra's review of non-represented employees, ordinance amendment of Rule 75 to the employees' retirement system. As Mr. Gray said, you know, the ordinance amendment here maintains the status quo. And so as such, if this is adopted, there is no impact on the retirement system. That being said, if this is not adopted, there's a potential for people to get the Rule 75 benefit. And to me, there's a cost to not adopting this. Your cost will increase if you don't adopt it. As Mark indicated, overall, roughly, you know, across the board, this the cost could evolve to upwards, you know, not upwards, of, but, you know, $12 million is sort of a baseline and go up from there. And I think that's it. In a nutshell, if you don't adopt this, there will be increased costs potentially to the extent that folks decertify.
Yes, Mr. Gray.
Mr. Chairman, just one other comment, just to clarify that this ordinance amendment, because of the law, the current state of the law, does not affect deputy sheriffs or firefighters, because we're still obligated to negotiate with them. And so this ordinance amendment does not address them. It addresses essentially everyone else.
Okay. Supervisor, let's go with Mr.
I would move to concur with finance.
We have at least one speaker in our audience, Patty Young. Patty, if you'd like to join us.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Patty Young, representing AFSCME, District Council 48. We would simply like to identify two issues that we see with this and just to advise the board that this is our position. First of all, our legal counsel has advised us that individuals within our form of bargaining unit with the county had this as of July 12th when the contract no longer existed and they were under civil service rules exclusively and ordinances of this county. And as such, that becomes a property right. And the second issue is the fact that if, in fact, you are now excluding this only for those individuals who previously belonged to a collective bargaining group, it then becomes an issue of whether or not there's a case for union animus. So I just want to make you aware that, unfortunately, I think that as we go through this transition period, there's going to be a lot of sort of litigious issues that arise, but I just, in fairness, want to advise you that that will be our position. Thank you.
Ms. Young, could I just ask a clarifying question, on the advice that you've gotten from your understanding of it? Are you saying that as of July 12th, the former AFSCME members are not considered represented any longer?
Oh, they were, up until the time the thing.
No, post July 12th, are they? In your view, or the advice of counsel, now considered non-represented employees?
As of today, because we are electing not to be blackmailed by the $3,000 cost for yearly certification that would require 51% of the entire group, a standard that obviously no other elected group has to maintain.
No, I was asking about the 7/12 date that you mentioned earlier, the July 12th date.
They didn't have a contract. They were represented, but we didn't have a contract.
Right.
So by default, you then went into the civil service / ordinance.
But they remained represented.
Correct.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Okay. The motion is to concur with finance. If there's no further commentary, then Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Sanfilippo.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Caesars.
Aye.
Rice.
Aye.
Lipscomb.
Aye.
Haas.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
Seven ayes, zero noes. The motion to concur with finance and audit is approved.